and now we have it on digital.
Now you have it on digital.
Excited.
I gave my copy to Scott Wall because I want to come to the test.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I'm in your pen.
Where's the thumb drive, though?
What's with the flash drive?
That's just everything you've got in digital form.
Right.
You ready?
Because okay. They know that I want it, though, so they were nice and brought it.
Okay, good evening. I will call us to order for our Drainage District Region 20 meeting. Board of Supervisors serving in our role as Drainage District Trustees. Really appreciate you guys being here. It's been a really long process, and it's exciting to think we might be getting close to the end. I hear that Monday right now is the day that they're going to start pushing pipe through the railroad. So looking forward to getting to the end. So first item on our agenda tonight is for Ken and ISG to present the engineer's report on annexation and reclassification of the Drainage District.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kent Roney, engineer on the project. We've got with me tonight Tyler Conley. He's worked on this project as well. Rick mentioned this has been a long process, but that's drainage. Drainage seems to take a lot of time in drainage districts in and of itself, and when you involve the railroad on top of that, it only compounds things. And as an example, we started the first public hearing on the engineer's report was August 19th of 2015. So that's been here we are today. That's about done. So that's the good news. Also, at that hearing, the board, as part of our report, we had looked at the boundary of the district, and this map is looks like a lot of lines. I apologize for that, but it shows a watershed model that is ran on the district to determine the water shed. And that outside line there you can see is the watershed of the district. This water model uses LIDAR data to determine the flow paths of water. A drop of water wherever it lands, it produces a route to the outlet in the district, which is at the very bottom of the sheet there. So that's what we based this annexation on. We also looked at other topographic maps and other soil maps and any other information and visual information in the field as well. A little more background on the project first is September 14th was the right-of-way hearing on the right-of-way for the district. We obtained right-of-way along the open ditch as well as the extended portion of the open ditch. And then on October 26th of 2016 was the award of the contract to the contractor. We also presented a preliminary reclassification of the district. This here now is the final reclassification. And construction has continued from November till now. And here we are today with the annexation and reclassification hearings. We're combining the two just to save the time and the effort and the cost. But initially here we have to have the annexation hearing, and we will have to close that prior to having the reclassification, because the lands have to be annexed first, and then we apportion the benefits, and that's part of the reclassification process. We do have a separate annexation report. It's not as extensive as the reclass report, but it outlines those areas that are highlighted in red there as those areas that are outside the current assessment boundary. That black line which follows the parcels is the those parcels on the existing schedule. And the red line, again, is the outside of the watershed boundary. So any area that is, or the red line is outside that black line, is an area that requires annexation. Okay. A little uniqueness about this district is that there's a sub-drainage district in the upper right-hand corner that's called sub-drainage district 20A. And I zoomed in on that. So there's areas that were within drainage district 20A. It's a little confusing. You had to annex areas into 20A as well as areas into the overall 20 district. So you can see those areas that benefit from the drainage tile for 20A are those areas that are in pink, and as well as those areas that are within that little red lines on the west and on the east. And the red lines are those areas that are not on the 20A assessment schedule. Also, as part of our report, we have these maps included and an itemization of the landowners and each of the acres that are benefited.
Question?
Yes.
That red line seems to be inside the Drainage District boundary on the west, southwest area. Will that be taken out?
Yes. Well, yes, those areas will not be assessed, and that's part of the reclassification. We'll drop them off the schedule, did we not? Yes. Those parts. Any other questions?
I got one.
Sure.
I seen on the other slide, he was talking about 20A up there, that one right there.
Yeah.
Now, has that changed?
Has what?
As far as, one time, I've got a map that shows that Richland 20 goes all the way to the north end on the west side. And according to that one, that isn't true.
All the way. Well,
it's like the stop sign.
Yeah.
Going north?
It does go north a ways. You can see there's a red line, there's a blue line that shows the 20 boundary, and then it changes to red, which is the boundary of 20A.
Oh, I thought that lighter color, I thought that was what she was doing now.
The pinkish color is those areas that are being annexed into 20A.
Mm-hmm. But the red line designates what's already in where the watershed is.
So the watershed boundary.
And do you have the black dotted line up there that you can show?
Yeah.
Because that's what it was.
We do, and it's kind of tough to see, but this area in here that is...
Again,
surrounded by this black dotted line here is what was originally 20A.
Mm-hmm.
So that area in here that isn't colored was 20A, and everything that's still within this red boundary remains 20A, mm-hmm. as well as this pink area.
But it's all included.
Yes.
Correct.
Kind of confusing.
All of it, all of what is encompassed by that red line is now 20A.
The dashed line is what it was.
What it was.
So the only thing that I got coming out is David and Cynthia Larson on the far north end was in 20A and will not be assessed under this new schedule, and then everything in pink is new into 20A.
Correct.
Correct.
they may have a portion there still.
Yeah.
Those areas, those acres that are outside of the red line are out.
Okay.
So the tank is going to be annexed in. So that means right there with the tap, there's quite a bit of the red line that's going to be annexed in.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, half of the railroad
right away is
that east half. Any other questions?
Yeah, go. If you could go through the
whole watershed.
The whole watershed. Okay, I'm
going to
Section 20.
So we're looking over here. Okay.
Where's the gravel road at?
We don't show the gravel road.
Well, the road, there is a road right under that red line.
There.
That's what I was saying.
And it is actually what is depicting and what is,
yes, there is
creating now that watershed boundary is the center line of that road.
So there's no culverts through that road.
So that's the reason that's being excluded, is because
there's
no culverts?
Correct. And those surface flows do not flow through that road.
There's outlets
in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
We were not aware of that.
Yeah, because it all comes from the northwest, comes down on it, S-27, and then it goes into Flynn's ditch, and then it comes across the railroad into our backyards.
No,
and from all.
We're a mile at least west of
there. Right, but it comes from that northwest end crop. It eventually keeps coming this direction until it's...
So right through here, mm-hmm. Right now, there's tile that are coming across here. Where's the 200? Right there. It's all coming down through here. That outlets right about there, and then comes down.
What do you mean outlets?
Overland.
Okay, so it's boiling out.
Well,
boiling
out. Yeah.
Under the annexation, then those far west, northwest parcels, so will be brought in, correct?
I'm just saying there could be more, but it's not that good.
Well, the thing is, we need maps, tile maps, to show what is being brought in. There is actually, there's lands that can be brought in, or if we have tile maps that show the same, or there's lands that will be reduced in the reclassification process and brought out. Those first parcels are, that first row outside west of that red line are in. They're in now.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't have to be annexed. They are in.
Oh.
Where it would be changed,
okay,
is in the reclassic, but we need to know from that landowner, and usually that's hard to get people to say,
my land drains into this district.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was understanding the red was going to be the edge.
Well, see, this is important because those are in the drainage district, but they're not going to be assessed under this schedule. So if there's water flowing from those somehow crossing that gravel road, they need to stay in. We just don't have the tile maps.
Right. That's the thing. You know, we need to get the tile maps to show that that's coming in.
And I find it right now. Did I say that? So your map needs to be corrected too. I guess if the water is draining onto that land.
Surface flows are not draining off of that land. Only tile flows.
Okay. So your map is showing the surface flows.
These maps show the surface flows. If a drop of water lands on that ground, surface wise, where is it going to flow?
Mm-hmm.
That's what our maps show. Until we have other maps that show tiles going in or out of the district. We also have another gentleman here that has brought maps that show portions of his land are tiled out of the district. That doesn't change the annexation. He still has surface flows that come into the district, but there will be a reduction applied in the reclassification process for those subsurface flows that are flowing out.
And that would be the opposite is true here.
Correct. If it is shown to us that that is indeed the case.
Is the only way to show that by having the tile maps?
Yes.
We just talked about earlier, we can't
tell where water goes. We need something that shows these tile maps that show where the tile flows are going.
Obviously, I'm the neophyte here. All right. So there's no way to do any kind of x-ray scan, anything on the surface to determine what's underneath?
Not that I know of. If you do an aerial photo at the right time of the year, or the right day, and so on, sometimes you're lucky enough to find what appears to be tile lines. That's one way.
So how would the trustees, and I'll come right to you, how would the trustees handle it if we have an area of ground that is either within the district and not assessed or outside the district that we learn at some point is in fact tiled into the district? What does the drainage district trustees do at that point?
Well, there's cases where people are found to be tiling into the district.
Absolutely.
There'll be someone say that, well, this guy is tiling in. There can be a search. Do a tile search to locate that tile.
Right.
Or you dig it up. You actually dig it up and say, is this tile coming in? So that's something that could be done here.
And then lands could be classified accordingly.
But would we have to go through a full reclassification again, or would we bring in that ground? So if we know it's not surface draining, but we think it's subsurface draining into the district, how do we go about recognizing that they're utilizing the district and they need to be paying their share?
Well, as another case, I said we have tile maps. That's good. We can adjust for that.
Okay.
We can go back and do that. In this case, if it's those only those four parts, four quarter sections there, they're already in.
But they won't be assessed under this new
Our schedule that we have here, they are not being assessed.
So how, and what I'm asking you is, so then we find out that there's subsurface draining, how do we adjust a schedule to accommodate?
We adjust our schedule with another factor for a tiled in,
okay,
and a tiled out.
But that will need a reclassification then.
We would adjust these existing schedules
to bring those in.
Right.
Okay.
Without having to vote on it and spend the $75,000.
There is a section in the code that allows you to annex
land without reclassifying.
Right, but this land is all... Land
is compared to the parcels already in the district and assigned a factor based on what's already in there.
Okay. It's a classification process. They wouldn't be reclassified. They'd be classified.
But since these are already in the district, if they have no assessment, you don't have to annex them.
Correct.
You just have to start assessing them something, and how would you determine what that is after the fact?
If you add them, if the existing schedule is all done and over with, right. Say a year or two down the road,
absolutely.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then it's a considered a classification, and it would be you add those parcels to the schedule, and you don't change anybody else's assessment. Normally, if you raise
somebody
drops everybody down. Else goes down. In this case, they're added to the schedule. Everybody else stays the same, and those people are just added.
To but then when you divide out the total amount, it's just spread among more.
More.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we could go back to, you said one gentleman brought in tile maps.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple gentlemen saying, that this has tile draining in. And you answered about will only surface, but is there a way for us to get a hold of those tile maps that would then assure?
Well, that landowner can be approached and asked.
That's it. So if the landowner chooses not to surrender, then there's no way to bring them or assess them so that it's there.
Well, no, there is a way. You explore and you see if, in fact, there's subsurface drainage up to and including digging up the tiles. I mean, so there's a way to get there.
Right.
We do it neighborly first before
right.
we have to get the other.
Okay.
You had something.
Well, I guess I'm still trying to understand how those in Section 20 can be excluded, because my understanding of drainage law is you look at the area without roads and where is the normal drainage if the road wasn't there. In this case, the road is a barrier because it's not a culvert.
Right.
But the natural flow, drainage would go east. Is that correct? I mean,
I guess we didn't look at if the road was not there. The road is there. It stops the flows. It's been there for a long time. You're right. Yeah, if the road cannot and should not be an obstruction to drainage.
Which it is currently, because there's not a culvert.
If indeed those areas originally flowed east. I guess I can't say that tonight that without looking further that...
And so I would like a culvert in there, because we have water pond on the west side that would normally drain east. Anyway, I just can't believe you can change the watershed because of the road. That's what's wrecking the natural flow of water.
Again, we're recording one. Rick's been through this, where a public improvement is defined as a road or a levee in several districts, and you can.
We got an I-35 as one of those. I mean, we had to sever a district based on I-35.
So a road can take land out of drainage, even if it's still in the watershed. Because it was trust as well. I couldn't give you exactly what section it's there.
All right, so we're going to talk about this more when we get to the end of talking about annexation and reclassification. Why don't you go through the rest of your report?
You want to do this, how do you want to handle? You want to do further investigation on?
That's where I believe we're going to get, but let's get to the end of the report, and then we'll just kind of talk about how it all fits together and what it means.
Go through the reclassification
portion. Are we done with annexation now?
Any more questions on that?
Would it cost anything to do more investigation and more of that?
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. It always costs more.
Well, what's the procedure for if someone requests a pump?
You talk to your county engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be the county's responsibility to do anything on a roadway.
And he can do that, he or she can do that on their own?
Well, the Board of Supervisors would have to approve something like that, but it would come through the county engineer.
They have to pay for it.
County has to pay for it.
And the landowners on both sides of the road have to agree, as I understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, there would be some easements that would have to, you know, it's not a simple process to get there.
You'd have to look at the natural course of drainage to determine the natural course of drainage. If indeed the natural course of drainage is through that road, that's where culvert should be. I'm not an attorney.
No, I just heard you say that you've got water that would flow east, which makes me skeptical of what the natural flow is right up in there. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Ken.
So the board, as part of this process, appointed commissioners to investigate the reclassification of the district, primarily because there was an improvement done to the district, and it is a reclassification is required when the cost of the improvement exceeds 25% of the original cost of the improvements in the district, and the existing schedule, there's only one schedule for assessing the district, which was the case here. There's only one schedule for the whole district. However, even though there's a west main and an east main, there's still only one schedule. People on the east main pay for anything that happened on the west and vice versa. As part of our process, we are separating these facilities into multiple schedules. We have one for the main open ditch, the east main open ditch, the west main open ditch, the east tile, the west tile, as well as five branch tile systems. And it actually been 20A with a separate schedule as well, so there's six tiles. So each of these tiles, each of these systems were apportioned the benefit that they received based on their watershed. I'm going to go through that process a little bit here, and the factors that are used in determining that.
Right, but let's spend another 10 seconds here, Kent. So right now, if you live all the way at the southern boundary of this district where the outlet is, and anything happens in the district anywhere, you pay your portion.
Yes.
With this reassessment, if you're all the way there and something happens in the northern reaches, you would not pay on that. Only the people whose water utilize that facility would pay for that repair.
Right.
Okay.
And looking at your benefits, we look at a number of factors. One is the number of acres. What are the benefit acres that you have within the district? Certainly those parcels right in the middle, all of their acres benefit. Those people on the outside edge, only those acres that are within that red line benefit. And those are the only ones that are looked at in determining the benefit. Another factor is wetness. What is your need for drainage? Okoboji soils need more drainage than Clarion Webster. So we look at soil types to determine the benefit, and we apportion those, all of the multiple, there's hundreds of soil types, we portion those into four categories: high, low, wet, and swamp. Swamp being the highest with 100% need, high being the lowest with a 20% need, and those in between. So that is the need for drainage. Proximity to outlet. Where is your parcel located in relationship to the facilities that is in question? Those clear on the outside of the watershed need to get their water to the facility. So they may
need either a district, another district tile, or their own private tile, or whatever. But it takes a cost to do that, and that is considered. Those right on the facility have that beneficial use being right on it. They don't really have to do a lot, or as much as those farther out. It's actually a ratio of the length of the facility that you use versus the total length from your parcel to the outlet. That's the actual calculation. Next is facility use. How much of the facility do you use? Those at the very end, as the outlet, use a small portion. They have a much lower factor than those at the very top. At the very far end, use 100% of it, so they have a 100% factor, or one, a factor of one, actually. Runoff. You have a runoff factor that's based on the amount of the facility that you use. Those people at the far end, at the very top of the district, use 100% of the facility, so you would have a factor of one, versus those in between would have a smaller factor, so 50 or whatever it is. It's not a straight line relationship either. It's based on the cost. Tiles at the lower end of the district cost more, so those costs go up higher, faster, and at the very top of the district, those tiles are smaller, and it kind of levels off.
Here's a question. You're saying tile used, but are you considering that, like in 20A, they're getting water from all over the Northwest coming in, draining into there. So it's not just their water that they're trying to get out of there. So I'm paying for my water that's in my yard, plus I'm paying for usage of other people's water that's coming into my yard.
Well, let's go through the rest. I think Tyler's going to go through a much more detailed
analysis. Okay, that's why I question when you say I've got a one because I'm up there and I'm using all of that.
Keep in mind, each of these facilities have their own schedule. So
as
Tyler goes through this, I think you'll understand it a little better and see.
Okay.
If you don't have a question later, if we don't answer, let us know.
But is that what I'm understanding right now, though? Is what is in my yard? What my drain off is a one because I'm using everything all the way down, right?
Yeah, and Tyler will get into this a little bit more.
Okay, I'm just want to make sure I'm understanding this.
We also look at runoff factor. How much runoff does your parcel produce? Ag lands, we consider a one. Roads, either gravel or hard surface, produce more runoff, as well as railroads. They produce more runoff because of all the ballast, so they have a higher runoff factor, as well as residential properties that are subdivided. A separate parcel and a larger portion of their land is roof, gravel parking, or some other hard surface that is given a higher factor. Then another factor that appears what we're going to need is and didn't know about until tonight, is a factor for accounting for lands that are tiled in or out of the district. Consider that too where needed. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Tyler, and he's going to go through these pretty colorful maps he's prepared here and explain the blockings that we might need.
Good evening, everyone. Tyler Conley worked very closely with this reclass to prepare these maps and to do the computer modeling and the number crunching for this reclass. And so I'd like to make the process a little bit more transparent here and go through facility by facility kind of how the process works and how everything was obtained. So to start, our reclasses use two bits of information. And the first is what we have displayed here. It's a DEM, or a digital elevation model.
It is interpreted LIDAR data that was gained by the state when they had a plane fly the state, shot a laser to the ground. Plane recorded the time it took that laser to bounce back, and that gained an elevation for their meter square sections accurate to within 6 inches, I believe, is what they advertise. And that has been manipulated to display this map, which shows the reds as high and the blues as low, and the color gradient between that representing the elevations in between. So that is the first piece of information that we use for reclass. The second is the U.S. Soil Survey maps, which is what's displayed here. This displays the different soil classifications throughout this district. Using those different classifications and the characteristics of those soils, we're able to assign them a drainage characteristic, or essentially how much does that soil require drainage. And those, as Kent said, are put into four groups: high, low, wet, and swamp. They're displayed on here as the yellows being high, the grays being low, the reds being wet, and the blues being swamp. And those, again, are given a numerical value for how much they need or how much they benefit from drainage. That soils map is used to gain the first factor that we use in reclass apart from acres. So the first factor is the wetness factor. This is a weighted average of all of those soils that are within a certain parcel, summed together and divided by the total area of the parcel to gain a wetness per parcel factor. So, again, it's a weighted average of how wet any particular parcel is based on that soils map. That's our first factor. Now, going back to the DEM and what it is used for, the DEM is used with water modeling software to create this water model. And so it's really busy, and the colors don't set off as well as I'd like, but these purple lines within the watershed represent the flow paths. The flow paths are anywhere that water can reach shallow concentrated flow, where water reaches the point where it actually flows along the ground and you can watch it flow. Those are what each one of those purple lines represent. Now, each purple line also is accompanied by one of these grayer lines inside, or a grayer box in there, called catchments. And think of those as sub-watersheds of the larger whole watershed. They are how the land is broken down and evaluated based on this water model. This water model also accounts for the district's facilities, as well as any culvert locations, pipes through driveways, areas under bridge, overpasses. Anywhere water can move in the district that we are aware of is included in this model. This is used then, as I said, to kind of partition and break up the district based on what lands use certain facilities. Now, this first set of maps that we're going through all represent the main open ditch, pardon me. And the main open ditch is relatively short in length compared to the rest of the facilities, so some of these maps don't really transfer very well and don't display very well, but we will be going through a majority of them, so you'll see kind of what I'm talking about if they don't translate here very well. But again, this is for the main open ditch, and this first factor that we're looking at is the facility use factor. How much of the facility do you use based off of that water model from the page previous? So essentially, where does that purple line enter the facility based on the whole length of the facility? So anything that has used 100% of the facility gets a 1. Anything that uses less then gets a lesser factor. So
that everything in green there, what you're telling me is any water that falls in the green
right.
flows down at some point, enters into the facility in the main ditch at some point along the main ditch. Everything else enters at some point before the main ditch starts.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The green flows into less than 100% of the ditch. It enters into the side, and everything else enters into...
On that little short stretch of main ditch.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Next slide, please. That is then also brought to a per parcel factor. And all of these factors are brought to the parcel level because then their factors are all multiplied together to get an assessable unit. But we'll get to that as well. So, again, this is a weighted average based on the area. Yes.
Question, Commissioner. Dr. Hume.
What area does each square represent?
Each square on here represents the legal division of land within this district. So, 40 acres or less. Or
they're
approximate. But they are the legal split of the land on here. So each parcel of land, each subdivide, is evaluated separately based on the water model of the district. Okay, so again, based on the weighted average of the catchments within each parcel, a use factor per parcel can be developed, and that's what you're seeing here. So every parcel that uses 100% of this little main open ditch down here gets a 1, and any parcel that uses a different amount of that facility gets something less than that 1. Next factor is the proximity factor, or essentially how close is that piece of land to the outlet. Do you flow directly into it, or do you have to utilize more facilities to get your water to that facility? So again, we're looking at the main open ditch here at the outlet. So lands that are close to that facility get a higher proximity factor, and those lands that have to utilize more district facilities and more of their own private facilities to get to that facility get a lower proximity factor. That, again, is then brought to the per parcel layer here. Again, a weighted average of those catchments. So the parcels that are closer to the outlet get a higher proximity factor.
Because I have to put in less private tile to get to the facility.
Correct.
If I'm closer to it.
Based on proximity, those lands benefit more because they have to do less.
Okay.
And the last factor, then, as Kent was saying as well, is the runoff factor, or land use factor. This accounts for any lands that shed water faster or slower than agricultural land. Agricultural land is held as a base 1. That's because all of these factors are multiplied together, so multiplication times a 1 doesn't change your assessable units. But if you shed water faster, such as gravel roads or hard surface roads, railroads, acreages that have been subdivided and appear to have more than 50% hard surfaced land, those are given a higher factor because they shed water quicker. Now, if there had been any areas with permanent ponding or DNR land, oftentimes those, because they shed water slower, receive a lower runoff factor. But that wasn't the case in this one. Everything was either ag land or higher. Now, all of these factors are then your area, your acres, your use, your procs, your runoff, and your wetness are all multiplied together to get an assessable unit, or your units of benefit. It's a numerical value that represents how much any given piece of land benefits from that facility. And again, these maps are just representing that main open ditch, and as we go forward, we'll get into the different facilities that these were run on. Now, this, these units are then used to get a classification.
That weighted average.
Yes.
So how does like proximity and use capacity, how do those weigh against each other? So this is the top end, just have full use of it versus proximity. What's the...
Right. So if you're at the top end and you use all of it, you will have a higher use factor. But since you're further away,
are they weighted kind of the same?
They all weight the same. Because they all get multiplied together. So it's a combination of all of these different factors weighted the same. So those units are then used to get a classification. All the units, every subdivide, every parcel, their units are divided by the highest unit of benefit and taken times 100 to get a percent. And it, now, when I say percent, that's kind of a scary buzzword for people. The 100% class does not pay 100% of the project. Everybody pays their percent of that 100%. So somebody that, let's say, has a classification of 35 pays 35% of what the 100% pays. The 100 pays the highest. Everyone else pays a percentage thereafter. We also then display a class per acre. Now, this is assuming everything to be equal as far as size is concerned, and makes it a little bit easier to compare parcels right next to you compared to your neighbor, especially those parcels along the edge that may not be a full 40. That is what the classification per acre does. We also display the assessment, and assessment per acre of the assessable project dollars associated with that facility. Now, only three of these schedules are going to be assessed, and that is the main open ditch, the west main open ditch, and the east main open ditch, because they are the only ones that have work done on them. All these other maps that we display, they are based on a per $10,000 basis. So they display as if a project worth $10,000 had been done to them. So if there was a project of $10,000, this is what that particular land could expect as their bill based off of these new schedules. So continuing on then, we now get to where we've now, the first set of maps have the whole watershed because everybody pays for the main open ditch because everybody uses it. Now as we start to split to different facilities, you'll really start to see how the watersheds break up within the larger watershed. This now is the, I believe it is the wetness factor for the East Main Open Ditch. So you can see now just the lands that are colored are those that use that East Main Open Ditch, and they are the only ones that will now be responsible for the maintenance and or improvements of that facility. So that first factor was our wetness factor, again based on our soil types. Then we had a facility use factor here. And because the east main open ditch is also relatively short in size, a majority of the lands responsible use 100% of that facility. So then a use factor is gained and brought to the per parcel layer. Then we do a proximity factor again, which again displays closer to the facility, a higher proximity factor. Further away, a lower proximity factor. Also brought to a per parcel layer, displayed here then. Then, area and all those other factors, including runoff again. We didn't display runoff again because runoff never changes, because the land use never changes, but it is used, are all multiplied together to get your assessable units that are then used to get classification, which are then used to find your assessment and assessment per acre. And then the process continues, and then we get to the west main open ditch, the one that just got lengthened and improved, and the process runs anew. We use our wetness factor, which currently is displayed. Then we get to a use factor, and because this facility is longer, you can start to see some of those colors break out, because not all of those lands are using 100% of that facility. It's brought to a per parcel factor. Then we run our proximity again, bringing that to a parcel, getting our assessable units, our class per acre, assessment, and then assessment per acre. That continued for all of the facilities that Kent outlined before. All the main open ditches, the two main tiles, and all of the branch laterals. Now, when we get to, here are the two, the west main tile and the east main tile. Now you can really start to see we have use factor displayed here. You can really start to see those colors kind of branch off and it kind of trees as you move up the facility and you use more and more of that facility till you get to the reds at the high end being your 1 or 100% use factor. So these longer facilities really do serve a purpose to show that color gradient between the reds and the greens. If you go one more tent, now we can see the proximity factors, how the lands right on that facility get a one or a redder color, and those further out that have to utilize either other district facilities or their own private facilities get a lower proximity factor. So that is reclassification. That is how this district was reclassified, and as Kent continues to scroll, you can kind of check out the different shapes of the watersheds and see now who will be responsible from here on out for those facilities, the upkeep of those facilities there. So, this time I invite any questions, comments.
And everything except for the main open ditch and two other open ditches are based on a $10,000 assessment.
That is correct.
Okay.
Those three schedules, those open ditches will be... They will be assessed for the assessable project cost. Everything else is strictly display purpose.
So that down the road, when we do something in one of these sub-districts...
Correct. If a repair is done on any one of these other facilities, that schedule can be levied at a percentage
of the $10,000.
$10,000.
Correct.
Correct.
Yep.
I've got a question. I thought I heard you say that main A, the east main, and the west main.
Okay.
The east main isn't going to be involved in.
That is correct, and I wasn't clear here. These two are displayed on the same map, but this red line right down the middle.
Yeah.
Splits those watersheds. We went to conserve paper and displayed the two processes on the same map, but they are run and they are calculated differently based on that red line that splits them.
Yes.
Right, correct.
Okay.
The east is strictly the east and the west is strictly the west.
The railroad would be differentiated?
It is not because of avenues that they have allowed through culverts that they've allowed water to pass back and forth between. And the railroad, I believe, is actually, it's right up through here. So, that...
So why did the East Main was in the West Main all this time, and then all of a sudden now the West Main is going to be on their own after it gets all straightened out? Then they're going to be, if it happens, it's our baby.
It's not after everything gets straightened out, so any action we take will be applied to the work we're doing now.
All of the construction that is currently going on will be assessed on these schedules. They will be separate. Anyone on that east line now that just utilizes that east main ditch will not be responsible for any of that work that happened on the west main ditch. Everyone pays for what happened in the main, where the east and west came together, because everybody uses that. But the construction that's currently happening will be assessed based on these schedules.
There was a little clean-out done to the east main, so that portion will be paid for by those on the east main. The majority of the work, of course, is on the west.
How far did that open ditch have to be extended?
Up to those culverts through and through the railroad.
It currently has been extended to this point here, and previously it was about in here somewhere. So approximately it crossed 140 essentially.
That saved a lot of cost to the district by the railroad required to pay for culverts through the railroad. They are not required to pay for tiles through the railroad.
But well, I remember you saying that about the difference between culvert and tile, but I've been driving back and forth and down that road, and you can see the tile, culverts, and then all of a sudden here this big square thing showed up. I noticed the night coming in here.
Yeah, that's what happens Monday. That goes under the railroad track starting Monday.
I was supposed to see
it. Yeah, we're supposed to keep it all wrapped up. Oh, yeah.
No, the box is a drop structure on the, if that's what I'm thinking you're referring to. The square box goes on the west side of the railroad, and that's where the surface flows will come over the top and drop in and go into that culvert. As well as the tiles, that tile, main tile, will be brought into that box as well. So all those flows will be going into that 108-inch steel wall culvert with an inch and a half inch wall thickness.
So if that box is currently sitting above ground, it will be
buried.
It'll be buried in the ground.
Yeah, they'll bury that. Probably the last thing. Then there'll be a grate on top of that, too.
Now, you say the part that goes underneath the railroad is steel.
Steel case. It's called a steel, smooth steel.
I was under the impression that when they were talking about this square deal, it's going to go completely underneath the railroad.
That will not. No, that sits on the west side.
Okay, I understand.
Just inside the railroad right-of-way.
I'm really fascinated by this because I didn't believe for a second we were going to get it done, right? So it was tile that ran under this railroad, and we proposed, because it was the best design here, to put in culvert, and state law says that the drainage district, you guys, pay for tile, and the railroad pays for culvert, and it ended up being $387,000 is where we think it is. Is that right, Kent? Right there.
I don't have those.
I think it's right in there.
Yeah.
And the railroad signed off on. In fact, I owe Kent a dollar that I've got right here because I bet him that there's no way the railroad would go for it.
Wait till Monday after Monday.
So, I mean, that's a big deal for this district that the railroad is going to pick up almost $400,000 of the cost from going under the railroad tracks.
Now, is there going to be that themselves? or hire somebody to put that in.
We worked closely with them to have contractors that they accepted, and do it as part of the project. They're closely involved. Is that fair to say, Kent?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, I've been in several conversations, and everybody says they're not going to let you see anybody more than they do that.
That they were true. Pretty tight.
That's true.
There were only a couple subcontractors that did this work in the state that were approved by the Union Pacific to do that work.
The driller is the one that's actually doing this. It used to be Miller the driller, now it's the driller.
Okay, other questions on the report, and then we need to get into talking about what we're going to do with the information we've received and what we're going to do about some of the questions that we've got.
Additionally, as Kenneth stated, private tile maps have been brought to us for an area on this southeast side. So an additional factor will have to be applied to those lands. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere in the range of 50% or so. So that will have to be accounted for, but I don't see it being a significant change to the report as it sits.
Okay. And how involved a process is it, and Kent, this is probably more for you, to do a basic search on that ground in the northwest corner to see if, in fact, we can ascertain whether tiles are draining under the gravel road right there. I think it's 640th. Under 640. Okay, I'll start over. Real basic assessment of whether we can ascertain, without spending a lot of time and money, whether there are, in fact, private tiles running under 640th up there in that far northwest corner so that we can put some kind of drainage factor on those properties that are already part of the drainage district. We just aren't assessing them anything in this plan. How hard would that be to do?
It wouldn't be too hard if we kind of know where it's at. Hopefully, Jaron would be willing
yep.
to use county forces to do that.
Paul, too, should have a good feel, I would think, of what's going on up here. I'd ask for help from you guys.
Who?
Dave, too.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Paul's brother. I get Paul on the brain, especially this time of year. I think it's in our... I don't want to spend a lot of time and money on this at this point unless the landowner requests it, but I think it's worth our time to get in and see if we can figure anything out.
I agree, and it would be best to do that now if you're going to do it while we're making these other minor changes. They can easily be done at the same time, and I think the report, you can approve the report
okay.
subject to these...
To this exploration, so you've received some tile that very clearly shows that we're tiling out of the district, so we have to redo an assessment on them. If we can figure out that there is, in fact, some tiling, they're already in the district, but actually tiling through the district, we would sign some kind of final classification on them. So it seems to me that we can very easily take care of annexation tonight, just on its own, if you guys are comfortable with the annexation proposed. But then when we talk about classification, it's going to have to be preliminary approval subject to some additional research on some of these things we've learned tonight.
I agree. I think the annexation can be approved. The reclassification, you could either approve subject to these minor changes.
Yep.
Or you could continue the hearing to a later date and make final approval at that time when we have those changes made.
Okay, so we'll start with this, and we'll come back to this conversation about the water. Let's start with annexation. That's the next item on our agenda. What other questions do we have? What other things do you guys want to talk about just on annexation?
So given this new answer, and thank you, Rick, for pursuing and following up on my initial question where I received a very firm no, so I appreciate that we've now got some flexibility here. And if we do the annexation, that does not impact what we do with those far northwest parcels, correct? Because we're not
all this is for them, is the
pulling into red.
This
people.
Is the pink, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Can we go back to the annexation? Yeah, Matt, just we're all looking at the same thing. Okay. So all we're talking about right now is those areas in pink coming into the drainage district.
And would we add anything we do as far as a motion, would that be related to 20 and then a separate motion for 20A?
I think this is just 20 and then we got to look at 20A.
I would do two separate motions.
Okay. All right. All right, so further discussion on annexation of Richland 20.
No, that's the easy part.
Just what we're looking at here. Anybody have any comments before we take action on this part? Okay, I would entertain a motion to annex proposed acres into Richland 20.
I would still make that motion.
I would second that.
A motion and second. Further discussion.
Right.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. These lands are annexed into 20. Now let's go to 20A.
I would move that we
just passed it.
Yep. So this is a separate motion.
This is a separate motion, and let's be sure we're all clear. So the we're just talking about bringing the railroad in and
just the pink here, just as yep. around. Well, I move to accept the annexation of 20A as presented.
I second.
You got a motion and a second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 20A as presented is annexed. That takes care of annexation for tonight. Now let's go through and make sure we all really understand what's happening with reclassification. We've got a plan presented to us that does not recognize at least two questions. We got some in the southeast corner that we now believe is tiling out of the district. We need to dig into that figuratively and see if that's where we really are, and then we would make adjustments. We also have that ground in the northwest that we want to really look at and see if we can ascertain if water's coming into the district via tiles across 640th.
The one in the southeast is the easy one. We have maps here that
right.
these landowners provided. It seems clear, very clear to me, what is tiled out.
And so that will, they'll end up paying for any surface drainage that we deem is happening into the district.
Only the surface drainage and not the subsurface.
And then we need to do the same thing in reverse for what's happening in the northwest.
The problem is in the northwest, okay, you find one tile here. Where does that tile go?
Well, but here's my...
Continue to follow it.
Well, no, but here's my stance. This is already in the district.
Right.
So the default position... I'm not talking about bringing new ground in, but the default right. position here is unless you can show us that you're not draining in... You're in the district. We've assumed forever. You've been paying into the district forever. And so I believe that these people that are already in the district either need to show us that they're tiling out or they need to be counted as tiling in. I don't even know if you got to go look at it. I'm saying...
Well, I don't have any proof right now that they are tiled in.
Except they're in the drainage district. They've been paying into this drainage district forever.
They have, but they do not have any benefit based on our information now.
They don't have any surface benefit.
Right.
But at some point, they had to have had some benefit or else they'd have been in here the first time we build them something saying, what are you charging me for? I don't have any benefit.
Keep in mind that original boundary was done 100 years ago. They did not have the information that we have today. That road may not have even been there.
Sure, but our farmers up here are smart. They're not going to pay into a district that they're not using at all. And this gives them the opportunity now, if we assess them and we say, you're already giving them the benefit of surface drainage. You're saying surface drainage is going somewhere else. But I'm suggesting to you that the most reasonable course of action, unless you tell me I'm just out of my mind, is to say these are absolutely tiled into this district, and if you're not, show us that you're not.
I'm not understanding, Kent, a little bit the hesitation. It was brought up earlier, will it cost the drainage district owners more money. Is that it, that you're afraid that it will be too expensive to do it, or is it a time issue? But I'm not understanding.
I just want to be certain that there is tile coming into the district. And I think, one, yeah, you talk to the individuals that are doing that. I don't mean to sound hesitant. I just want to make certain that this is indeed the case.
Mm-hmm. As you're saying, they're already in the district.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's not like we're talking about. So as I'm sitting here thinking this through, I think it's different since they're already.
If we don't have information that shows they are tiled into the district, they will not be paying any part of.
Yeah, because they're in the district now, but we assume that the surface drainage goes the other way. And the question is, which way would it go without that road? Or if we put an culvert in there, which way would it go?
I'm absolutely with you, but what I am saying is they're part of this district now, which carries with it an assumption that they're draining their water into the district. So we've been doing work, not a lot of work, but we've been doing work in Richmond 20 for years and years and years, and what I'm telling you is these are sharp people up here who, if we were sending them bills to pay for something and they said, I don't drain my water across 640th, we would have heard from them. And so I think the default position is your subsurface draining from those properties into the district you sit in, unless you show us you're not.
What about those in Section 28?
Section 28. Yeah, so, Mr. Dewan, this is you right here in 28, right? So this is, give me the pointer. That's you right there.
No, that's me.
No.
Oh, who is it?
No, that's me. And everything.
Yeah. And I can show you maps
if that's going out. It's
going
the other way. The
water's going
to go the other way.
The side
there.
Even the subsurface drain. Right. But I take the same stance there. I think you guys need to show us this. If you're in the district now, you just need to show us that, yeah, you're really going all the way out. We know that the surface drainage is going out.
I'm going to have to do that.
Okay. I don't know. Am I missing? You guys tell me you do this.
Their property's been vacant the whole time, since 1909.
Right.
Okay. The only difference is they just say it's not going that way, and they're out. Right.
Is it appropriate for us to ask Scott, as our drainage district clerk, to make that inquiry, or is that your firm's responsibility, Kent?
It could be whoever. I don't think it's Scott. I think it's a combination of Darren and Kent is what I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, if I know who to contact, I can contact them, but the initial response is going to be no, my water doesn't go that way.
Sure it is, but that's why I'm suggesting that. I mean, I think we contact these landowners in the form of, we've determined that you don't surface drain into the district. We're giving you the credit for that. But we believe you do subsurface drain because you're part of the drainage district. Show us you don't. It's easy. Just show us you don't, and then you're out. And then you get no assessment at all. We're not talking about a huge assessment, are we, Kent? We're just, I mean, so that if we're not worried about the surface drainage, it knocks off a couple of the factors.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Thoughts? Anybody? Marty?
How long a time would this take? Is I sat there and my first question.
Well, so we've got to get, are we planning on doing this assessment by May 31st so that it's part of this year's tax bill or not?
That would be ideal.
Well, yeah. I mean,
see that, yeah.
Yeah. Is that a reasonable time frame to have everything done in the next 40 days?
Oh, sure, on our end. Yeah, and that was our idea in getting the classification hearing done at this time.
So state law is if we don't do it by May 31st, it can't show up on tax bills that are due starting in September.
We could levy it in June and it would show up on the tax bills.
But it wouldn't be due.
They would not be charged a penalty until September 30th of 2018. Which means that the district is accumulating interest due to the contractor for an extra
district year. District paying the interest,
it's
right.
Better for the district to pay sooner.
And there could be a problem with final bills of everything, of construction and everything, there may not be a final
final. We won't, may not be able to have the completion hearing by May 31st is the thing. Okay. However, could do a you know, levy a majority of the cost for this one, and then whatever's remaining you could do next year, so you can stop that interest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, you can certainly do that. We should have a pretty good estimate of what the cost, I hope we have a good estimate of what the cost will be by the middle of May.
Yeah, we should be pretty close.
Okay. Laura?
My question was, is it possible for us to do the reclassification with the condition that, just like you're addressing the southeast situation, that you addressed and do the any adjustment on the northwest situation?
Yeah, I think that is an option. I think you could approve the reclassification subject to those potential changes.
Okay.
I think, to me, that seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, they will be, I think they'll be small changes.
I'm banking on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, those changes really aren't significant.
Okay, so we'll continue the discussion, but let's go ahead and get a motion if you guys are comfortable with that. Laura, are you comfortable making the motion?
I am comfortable making the motion. I move that we ask ISG to pursue reclassification with the condition that we acknowledge that there may be some changes related to the southeast part and to the northwest part based upon their investigations. Yeah.
Okay, it's us who are adopting this, so just make sure we're clear that you're making the motion for us to adopt the reclassification schedule subject to any of the changes that ISG may find in their exploration of both those areas.
Take that wording.
Oh, you want to put a time frame on that motion?
I don't know that we can. I mean, clearly we want to have it done by...
That's what I'm saying. Do we want to put ourselves in that box or not?
It's up to you, but I don't.
Boris, you got any comfort in trying to get this done before May 31?
We could put a time frame on of May 11th. That's 30 days. Is that...
I mean, that's doable on our end. I think the question is the responses we get with the landowners involved here. If you want to be more specific in your motion, those area in the southeast is in section 35.
Okay.
And then those in the northwest are in section 20.
And 28, I heard. I mean, I think it's clear, but we need to treat everybody the same. If we're doing it for 20, we need to do it for 28.
Right.
So, Laura, that's these two areas. That's here and here as well.
Okay. And thank you for providing that information, and I would add that into the motion. I accept that. Scott?
Yep. Okay, so we still got a motion. We're looking for a second, if you're willing.
With the time out.
May 11th.
May 11th. Kent? That's acceptable, doable.
I don't see a problem.
My only concern is the response from landowners. But our end, it's doable.
So about a month's time from tonight, then.
Well, we have one landowner who's actually already responded.
Right.
So we're talking about the landowners on the west side. And with Rick talking about
the other one.
And the motion reflects that you're going to do the reach out then, correct?
Yeah, as long as I have some contacts.
Can provide you that, Scott?
I can work on that.
If that's all in the motion, now you have a second.
Okay. You got a motion and a second. Now, further discussion, I'm going to give you guys a chance first. Anything you want to add before we finish talking about this? Because when we finish talking about it, we're voting. Okay. Anything else we want to talk about up here?
No, I think we took our time here.
Okay. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Reclassification schedule is adopted, subject to some of the review that we're doing in both the east and on the west. Other business for us tonight, Kent. Anything else from your perspective?
I didn't mention the other commissioners, Dave Anderson and Brad Brooks. I thank them for their help.
They're becoming pros in this.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Good job on the report. Scott, anything else for us tonight?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Closing thoughts, Morris or Marty?
I would just like to thank the drainage district owners for obviously watching this newbie learn how it's done, because you guys have done it for a long time. So thank you for your patience if I held you up at any way.
You didn't hold us up at all. Good to get through it. Marty, anything?
Right back there.
I've got a question about 20A.
Yep.
Can you blow up the picture there, you know?
Make this even larger is what you're asking?
Please.
Let me see.
What area are you looking?
South end.
Okay.
There? Yeah. You see where that the black dotted line comes across the bottom of the wall and then it goes up the east side?
Yep.
Okay. Now right up there where that pink's at, after you go back west,
yep,
the dotted line?
Yep.
That's being annexed now, right?
Yeah, that is Raymond and Sandra Robinson.
Yeah. Well, I'm just south there.
Okay.
I got block 11 right there. Okay. Now in between Robinson and my property, there's a road that went back into the inside. And there's water stands there. I've had water in that north end for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And it's just been an ongoing thing. First time I dragged about this was 1982.
Okay. So it's a recent thing.
But I've talked to several people. And first, I had 6 lots in the district.
Yep.
And my other lots wasn't in the district.
Okay.
Okay. I took that as gospel. I built a new house, and I wanted to run from my septic tank to run back into the county drive. I mean, it wasn't hooked to my septic tank. It was the out of boundary.
Yep.
And they said I was out of the district. Well, after that, I was paying for being in the district.
Huh.
And anyway, this week, going back and forth, I talked to Paul about it. And where that, on the north side of my property, the ditch, they said when that road went back in, they put it in to go back into the bin site, that's when the water started staying. And I wanted them to take and put an inlet in that ditch and take it to the county tide, which runs right on the west side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
But they, some about had to run elevation and all that. But I got tired of putting grass in that ditch.
You have the beneficial use of that main, that 28.
Well, yeah.
You can run a tile to that. But
in fact, that he was told before that he couldn't do that because that land was not in the district.
Oh, at that time he was.
That's now being in.
Yeah.
We're talking a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Now you're getting the benefit. You go right there.
Well, yeah, I got permission. I run my cell phone right straight out to County Dot. They said, sure, great, run it in there. They love it.
Now you're in. Now you can do that.
Well, I already did it.
Well, good. Perfect.
No, we found off with you.
Let's finish that conversation offline so we can go ahead and you and I can sit here and talk about that. Okay? Any other business for us tonight is Drainage District 20. Take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody. All right, we can keep going with 20A and figure out exactly what we need to do now.
Are we still in session?
Nope, we're done. Okay.